This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Well, hey, it's good to be with you today. If this is your first time with us, I'm Pastor Gene Amoson, and it's an honor that you're here worshiping with us today. Are y'all ready to get into the Word? All right, well, let's hop in. I want to start with a question today. Have you ever hopped into a project and you got into it because it seemed easy enough, but once you got into it, you realized that maybe you were in over your head just a little bit?
Amen.
Maybe you were trying to repair something, trying to build something, trying to cook something, and you realize, okay, this is not going well because maybe you weren't following instructions. Just quick story. One time Regina and I signed up for one of those subscription things to where they send you all of the food and a recipe and they show you how to build it or whatever. Okay, let me tell you. First of all, I was just like, this is going to be great. She was working late. I said, honey, I've got dinner. It's going to be wonderful. You just come home and Big Daddy's got it, right? So I open the box, lay out all the materials. It said prep time should be a half hour. Maybe if you're Emeril Lagasse. Maybe. I got so frustrated, I threw away everything except for the protein, threw it in the freezer, called her and said, pick up a Little Caesars on your way home. I was in over my head and I even had instructions for Pete's eggs, right? But have y'all ever maybe not used instructions? You thought, I can wing this and I'll be okay, but then you realized you weren't okay. Anybody ever been there before? You know, that's how a lot of people actually approach family. That's the way a lot of people approach family. Whenever it comes to family, a lot of times we try to build something based on our knowledge rather than going to the one who designed family. Rather than going back to his word, because culture will give you all kinds of opinions whenever it comes to what you should do, maybe in your marriage, what you should do as parents or maybe in your family. But the truth is, God's blueprint will work every time. Oh, come on now. God's blueprint will work every time. Amen. And the truth is that God's word is not just a way to do it. God's word is the way to do it. And his way to do it is eternal. I mean, so for instance, you know, his way of doing things worked 1,000 years ago. It works today and it'll work for eternity, right? And by the way, that's not just family. That's in all areas of our life. As long as we do it his way, we're going to see blessings in our life. Amen? Amen. But a lot of times we want our family to be strong. But y'all, unless we do it his way, we can't expect our family to be strong. We want families that are built to last, because we're going to build on the right foundation and we're going to see that our families will be built to last. Amen. So today we're kicking off a new series. We're calling it Family Foundations. And what we're going to do in the series is we're going to go back to the one who designed the family. We're going to see what he says in his word. And we're going to look at how we can have stronger families, because the truth is, if we don't have a strong foundation, whatever we build, it's just not really going to be strong at all, right? And so we want to make sure that we get that foundation right. So we're going to see what the word says. And in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about improving our families. And we're going to talk to parents, husbands and wives. We're going to talk to singles. We're going to talk even to kids as well. And we're not basing this on what the world says, but what the word says. There's a lot of self-help books out there about marriage, about parenting, but the truth is that they don't go back to that word. We don't need to really be studying those. We need to study what God says, because he's the author of marriage. He's the author of family. Amen? Psalms 127:1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." The New Living Translation says it this way, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted." It says it's wasted. The truth is that whenever we're trying to do family our way without the help of the one who designed it, it's going to be harder and the results are not going to be nearly as good. Amen. That's just truth for us today. So let's jump in and see what God's blueprint for the family is today. And the first thing we need to understand is this, is that he created family on purpose. He created it on purpose. Before there were ever governments, before there were schools, before there were churches, God created the family. And we see this in the second chapter of Genesis, verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be what? Alone. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, Adam had God, but God realized that Adam needed human relationship. All of us, we need human relationship. Let's hit the pause button just for a minute. And we're not just talking about marriage here. All of us need people in our lives to make us sharper, right? Just like Proverbs talks about, we all need strong people in our lives. But I want us to think about this just for a minute. Adam was in perfect relationship with God, but God still knew that Adam needed human relationship. And so, of course, he brought Eve into his life. He created marriage, the two coming together. And then God took it a step further, and he created structure for the family as well. Now, God's design for marriage, hear me, is for husband and wife to be covenant bound. Come on, look to your spouse and say, we're in covenant. We're in covenant. Listen, he didn't just want us to cohabitate. He wanted us to be in covenant. And he wanted us, whenever we have children, to raise them by design and not just by default. We need to be intentional on how we raise our children. And all of the roles in the family need to reflect the nature of God. Reflect his strength. Reflect his love. Reflect his tenderness. Now here's something that we need to understand. Whatever God creates, he blesses. Whatever he creates, he blesses. And I believe that there's probably couples out there that they're praying for God to bless their marriage, but they've not been doing it his way. Listen, they've been doing it their own way, and they're wanting God to bless the marriage, but y'all, that's not the way it works. It's whenever we do it his way that we're going to see blessings come our way. And if your foundation has been, well, we're just going to kind of figure this out on our own, don't be super surprised whenever storms come and things start to fall apart. Because whenever we do it his way, we've got that strong foundation and our families are built to last, right? And a lot of times, people, they want God to bless it, and then things don't go well for them, and then they blame God. Don't you blame God, blame yourself. Because you didn't do it his way. You didn't do it his way. God's design for the family will bring order even in the midst of chaos. Things might not be going perfect for you, but whenever you do it God's way, it can start to turn things around and can bring order in your family. And whenever we trust his design, we're not just going to survive, but again, we're going to build families that will last. Amen? So that starts with knowing our role and intentionally living it out. So number one, God created family on purpose. And number two is that every role matters. Every role matters. Whenever we look at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, whenever we go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, the word is speaking to us and it starts to address the different roles of the family. It'll address husbands, it'll address wives, it'll address even children and how they should behave. And here's the thing, the Lord has a way that he wants all of us to live. He has roles for each one of us. Whenever we're not operating in our role and we're not doing what we're supposed to do in our role, things start to get out of whack. Sometimes there are females that maybe are just a little more outspoken than their husbands. Their husbands are super quiet, so the lady just feels like she has to take lead. I'm sorry, but that's not the way God created it, right? Or maybe some men, they just sit down and they say, I don't want this responsibility. I don't want to do it. Sorry, men, then you're not walking in your role that God has for you. Maybe your family's gotten to the place to where the kids are kind of running things. That's not the way it's supposed to be either. They have a role and that's not it, right? And then there's times when maybe members of the family are not honoring about the roles of others. So men may just kind of shoot their mouth off and say, well, I wear the pants around here, you know, with their chest puffed out. Listen, men, you have a lot of responsibility on you. But rather than just shooting your mouth off, you need to be walking it, not just talking it. You need to be honoring your spouse as well. God brought your spouse into your life, your wife into your life, to be a blessing to you and the rest of the family. Without Regina, the Amosons, it'd be ugly. I got to be honest with you. I can't imagine trying to tend to kids without Regina around. Can all the men say amen? I mean, we need our spouses and wives. God has that role for you as well. You bring so much to the family. Love, nurture. You're a powerhouse in the home. Amen? But it's very important that we honor the different roles in the home. God's put us all there, and whenever we do it His way, things work out. And maybe you say, you know, if men sometimes will just kind of shoot their mouth off, or if ladies just say things, you know, about their husbands, and you may say, well, Gene, I'm just joking, that's sarcasm. Be very careful. Yes. You don't want sarcasm to be the tone of your family. Okay? Love needs to be the tone in our homes. Amen? Love needs to be the tone in our homes. Now, in God's blueprint, husbands are called to love sacrificially. I know a lot of men sacrifice, do a whole lot for their family. They're also called to lead as well. Amen. Spiritually, men, we've got to lead our homes. We don't sub that out to our wives just because they know more scripture than us. No. God's called us to lead our homes. And just so you know, your wife really wants you to take lead.
Right.
Ladies, can y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Like you want your husband to take lead spiritually in your home. Men were called to protect our families as well, right? We protect them. Wives, of course, you're powerful. Your wives, you're a nurturing force in the family. You're called there to be with your husband, to honor him, and to help him lead the family as well. It's a vital role. And whenever we're walking in those roles that we're supposed to, it's like puzzle pieces that perfectly go together.
Amen.
It works, amen? And then kids, they're called to obey. And be discipled. Amen? And be discipled. Parents are called to nurture. Parents are called to, yes, discipline. Parents are called to train their children as well. Parents are not called to be their kids' best friends. You're not called to be your kids' best friends. That's not the way God set it up. Of course, we love our kids, but we want the best for our kids, so we've got to treat them as our children, not our best friends. Amen? We got to raise them the way that they're supposed to be raised. Ephesians 6:4 says this. It says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Right.
The discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's times where we definitely have to discipline our children.
Right.
Mom used to tell me this whenever she was tearing my fanny up. She'd say, I'm doing this to keep you out of jail. Well, I mean, she kept me out of jail. You know, it worked. But here's the thing, parents, we got to understand that our presence, it matters. Our example, it matters. They're watching us. Our example matters. Our tone also matters. That's something that I struggle with. I had lunch with a pastor a little while back, and I mentioned, I said, sometimes it gets real loud in my house, and I'm the loudest one. He's like, you too? I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I was like, good, there's another pastor that struggles with this. But we've got to watch our tone too. This is a struggle I have, but I know that there are others that struggle with it as well. But the enemy really wants to try to confuse roles.
Amen.
He wants to bring confusion there, because whenever roles are out of whack in our homes, then our family gets weaker as a result. Listen to me, husbands, if you don't take lead, wives will often get resentful.
Right.
Wives, if you try to just move in and take charge, it's very common that husbands will check out. You know, their whole attitude will be, well, if you're taking this, then I'll just be over here. Peace out. We got to watch that, right? Whenever parents aren't on the same page and they're not seeing eye to eye, and there's arguments and bickering going on and disagreements going on, then anxiety is just rising up in your kids.
That's right.
It's not just between you and them. It's affecting the kids. If the parents are inconsistent, then the kids are going to rebel. We got to be consistent, amen? We've got to. And then if we're not honoring God in our family, the whole family's suffering as well. The whole family's suffering. But here's the great thing. Whenever we each embrace that God-given role that we've been assigned, whenever we do that, the family isn't just peaceful, but y'all, it's built to last. It's built to last. And I want you to hear me today. That doesn't mean that it's all on your shoulders. You've just got to walk in the role that God's created you to walk in.
Amen.
Just do your part, because we want a strong family. Amen. And to my single folks that are here, don't check out on me, okay? Because you're not on the sidelines. I want you to understand, if you're still at home, if your feet are still underneath your parents' dining room table, then that means that you're still under their authority. You hear me? And so don't tell them how old you are, or how strong you are, or how big you are, or how independent you are. No. You're still living underneath their roof. Therefore, they still can tell you what to do. Come on, parents with teenagers. Y'all can give me a little something on that, right? But here's the thing. You need to walk in your role. In the way that the Bible says that we need to be obedient to our parents. And by the way, that never stops. We need to honor our parents. Honor your father and your mother. It comes with a promise there. But here's the thing. You need to honor your parents. And you have the opportunity to be an example to younger siblings as well. You have that opportunity. If you're out on your own, you need to understand that your walk with God right now is setting the foundation for the family that you will one day have. And so you want to make sure that that walk with the Lord is getting stronger, because what you're building today will actually last for days and days and years to come. Amen? So every role matters. Somebody say every role matters.
Every role matters.
Number three, your family is your first ministry. Your family is your first ministry. I believe a lot of us are winning at work, or maybe in other areas of our life, but we're losing at home. We may be super successful at work, or maybe there's something else that we're doing and we're super successful with that, but at home, it's suffering. It's very easy to get consumed with work. Right? It's very easy to, and we have a lot of entrepreneurs in here. I mean, so I know with you, because it's all on you. It's very easy to get consumed with work. It's very easy to neglect family as a result. So many times, employees and bosses tend to take priority over spouses and children. But I want you to know, again, that's not the way God ever intended for it to be, right? A lot of folks in the business world, or, you know, with their career, will do whatever it takes to get better at what they do, to advance in whatever it is they do, but they don't want to invest in their family. That doesn't seem right, does it? We've got to be investing in our family. And I want you to understand this. Your first disciples are not employees. Your first disciples are not your boss. Your first disciples are not at your workplace. They're in your living room. They're in your living room. And I do realize that, you know, we're not going to be perfect, and there's times where we're going to mess up. But y'all, we have got to be present, because if we miss this, then y'all, we miss everything. Amen? So we've got to understand that our family is our first ministry. We've got to be very intentional to create a Christ-centered atmosphere at our homes. That our kids understand, listen, y'all, the Lord is the middle of our house. He's everything here in our home. We need to pray with our kids constantly, like consistently we need to pray with them. We try to have a time, you know, most nights to where we're together in the living room. It doesn't always happen. Last night I just went into each kid's bed, laid in there with them for a few minutes and just prayed with them. We need to pray with our kids. They need to hear it coming from us. We can't expect them to do what they don't see us model. Right? I mean, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And then there's this great promise that whenever they're old, they won't depart from it. So we've got to be making that investment now to see them succeed down the road. It's important that we eat together. A lot of times, you know, we're all coming and going with activities, with work, whatever, but if we can get around the dinner table together, that's good family time. Ideally with a TV off. Amen? We need to speak words of blessings over our kids. Your words that come out of your mouth that you speak over your children are so powerful. I mean, literally, it's prophetic. And there's times where I'm super frustrated with my kids. I know y'all have never been there before. And you almost want to say things, but listen, we can't put those labels on our kids.
That's right.
Come on, we can't put those labels on our kids. We don't want our kids traumatized for the mess that comes out of our mouth, right? We don't want them living with that and carrying that with them. So we need to speak blessings over our kids as well. Anytime we mess up as parents, it's okay to repent. Don't feel like you don't have to repent because you're the adult. No. It shows our children that we're human. It also is an example to them that they'll realize that, hey, whenever they mess up, they need to just come clean about it as well, right? And we need to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. And we need to show our kids, y'all, that Jesus isn't just somebody that we talk about on Sundays, but he's literally the center of our homes. Amen? He's the center of our homes. Here's the thing, y'all. This is about legacy and not convenience. It takes work. It takes work. But homes of faith, homes of peace, homes of love, you know, legacy homes, y'all, they're the kind of families, they're the kind of homes that are built to last. They're the ones that are built to last. Number four is this, is that brokenness isn't the end of the story. Brokenness isn't the end of the story. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, Pastor Gene, everything you said, that's just fine, but you don't understand how messed up my family is. I have some really good news for you. God uses broken things to build. He uses broken things to build. He's not looking for perfect families. He's not. He's looking for families that are willing to have him come in and do his work. Amen? He's not looking for ideal circumstances. He's just looking for open hearts. Hearts that are ready to do things his way. And your past, y'all, doesn't disqualify you. Come on, somebody. Your past doesn't disqualify you. Maybe you're just thinking like, Gene, I have royally messed up as a parent. I have been a terrible example. I've not done what I was supposed to do. God can begin to turn it around. Come on, hear me now. God can begin to turn it around. You've just got to invite him into your chaos. You've just got to surrender to him your dysfunction. And I want you to know your dysfunction doesn't scare him because he has seen it all. You're like, Gene, we could be on, you know, Jerry Springer, some of those. Listen, God's seen worse, okay? He's seen worse, and it doesn't scare him off. He's just looking for families that are ready to invite him in and say, God, we got to have you. We need your help. We can't do this without you. Come on, somebody. That's what he's looking for. And I know that some of y'all, you've gone through some serious hurt in your life. Maybe it's, you know, with your spouse. Maybe it's with your parents. And I want you to know this. God wants to heal those areas of your life. But I need you to hear me as well. He doesn't want you to stay there. Listen. The enemy would love to just have you constantly thinking about those painful times of your life. But God's ready to heal you from that so that you can walk. Listen to me. You felt crippled by all that mess in the past, but God's ready for you to walk again. You've been hurting and hurting and hurting and hurting for years, but he's ready to heal you and to make you whole so that you can walk in the fullness of all that he has for you. Come on, somebody. He's ready to do that in your life today. So maybe you were raised in a messed up family. Maybe you experienced a lot of things that you don't want your family to experience. The good news is that you don't have to repeat that cycle. It can stop right now. It can stop today. Amen. Divorce doesn't have to be your story. Addiction doesn't have to be your story. Shame and neglect, they don't have to be your stories. Amen. That cycle can be broken today with the help of the Lord. But it starts by asking the Lord, Lord, I need you to build my house. Lord, I need you to build my house. Because again, whenever he builds something, it's built to last. It's built to last. Amen. Now today, as we kind of begin to wrap up. We've covered a fair amount of things today. But just one thought I want you to just remember as you leave this place today. It's simply this. God cares more about your family than even you do. You need to hear me. Many of you, you have serious concern about your family, serious concern about your marriage, your kids, the future. He's seen every tear that you've shed about your family. He knows every thought that's gone through your head about your family. And you know how much you care about your family, but I need you to understand today, he cares even more. And he's ready to do a work in your family. But I also want to say this, you can't fix it on your own. You can't fix it on your own. It's going to be you inviting him into the middle of your family. It's husbands and wives getting on the same page and saying, okay, we're not doing a good job of this. And it's time for us to go back to the instructions that he gave us. It's time for us to do it his way. It's time for us to make him first in our home. In the Old Testament, we know that Moses was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. During the journey, Moses actually dies, and we know that Joshua ends up being the one that leads them into the land that God had for them. Shortly before Joshua dies, he's talking to this huge group of people. I mean, we're talking what's ultimately millions of people. And he's saying some things to them, and he's ultimately reminding them of what God had done in their life. He's reminding them that they were in captivity. Their relatives were in captivity. He's reminding them that God supernaturally brought them out of captivity, and then in the midst of the journey, God supplied all the needs that they ever had. If they needed water, God would make it come from a rock. If they needed food, it would just supernaturally come from heaven. He's reminding them of how they won wars that you would have thought would have been impossible, but he just keeps reminding them of all that God did during that 40-year journey. And in Joshua 24, verse 14, he says this. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day." Come on, let's all say that together. "This day, whom you'll serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." Joshua just puts it out there. He said, today you need to decide. Today, are you going to serve the gods that others served, or today are you on Team Jesus? Which one is it that you're on? But then Joshua says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. And I want to say this to you today, in the same way that Joshua was reminding them, don't you forget all that he did for you. Don't you forget how he brought you out of captivity. Don't you forget all the miracles that he's done in your life. I want to remind you today, let's not forget all that he's done in our life. Let's not forget how God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to fix our sin problem. Don't forget the miracles he's done in your life, what he's done maybe to heal your body, what he's done in other areas. You know those times that maybe you were in an accident and you should have been dead, but it was the hand of God that protected you. Don't forget what he's done in your life, but don't forget this either. His word says that he wants you to live a blessed life. He wants to see your family know him. He wants to see your family blessed once again from generation to generation to generation. He's looking for families that are going to say today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what everybody around us is doing, we're going to serve the Lord. He's looking for people that are saying, you know what? I've not been walking in the role that he's called me to walk in, but beginning today, I'm going to walk in that role. Men, he's looking for men that will stand up and say, I will lead my family. We will put the Lord in the middle of it, and we're going to serve the Lord no matter what. That's what he's looking for today in the name of Jesus. Whether you're single, whether you're a parent, whether you're married or not, have you decided today, my home's serving the Lord? He's looking for people that are ready to make that declaration today. Come on, somebody say today. Today, let's make the decision to build our house on the rock. Amen. Christ Jesus. To use his blueprint, because once again, whenever we build with his foundation, whatever is built, it's going to be strong. Whatever is built, it's going to last. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody say amen today. Amen. If you will, come on, just lift your hands. I just want to just speak a blessing over you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we know that family was something that you designed. God, it's for us to be a blessing, God. Lord, it's for us to where we can, Father, have children. Lord, that from generation to generation, God, we can tell the world about Jesus. And Lord, maybe we're here today and our family doesn't look just right. God, we ask you to just come into our homes, God, and to start to do your work that only you can do, Lord. Lord, today, if we've not been walking in the role that you have for us, God, I just speak strength right now to everyone here. Lord, that they're going to walk in that role. God, I just speak right now to men in particular, God, that they're going to lead those families in Jesus' name. God, we need spiritual leaders, men who are not passive, but men who will stand up and walk in the calling that you've given them, God, to lead their homes or to lead their children, to lead their spouse as well, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, help us to keep our focus on our family, Lord, and not get distracted by our careers, Lord, activities, but Father, that we truly understand our first disciples are at home. Lord, that we're more concerned about our family knowing you, God, than we are about career and job and all of that stuff, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you care, Lord, about the brokenness in our homes. Lord, about us individually. And Father, to those who are here today, that, Lord, their story may not look just right. God, maybe they've had a hard childhood, God, or Lord, maybe their marriage has just been out of whack and there's been things that have happened there. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to start to work right now in lives and in homes and to heal. Lord, because we know that you want us to be whole again, Father, so that we can walk in the purpose and the destiny that you have for us. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.